and good evening. I am William Morgan, and this is 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and distributed by thesyncbook.com. Today is the 29th day of October 2015, but this particular episode, Sync Renegade Series Episode 4, was recorded on 10/24/15. You can find our archives at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at SyncBook. On this podcast, we shall follow up with Joe Alexander in reference to Bonus 37 and shortly after his crossover into mainstream media. Joe, the renegade that he is, has done something that all of us thought would take a little bit longer: make Sync a household name. We are dying to know what happened to Joe on Back to the Future Day, I'm sure. But before we do that, I would like to comment that, try as I might, I was unable to persuade Joe to release some of his own music to us. Instead, you are listening to Joe's pregame jam. This is Marilyn Manson's third day of a seven-day binge from his 2015 album, Pale Emperor. So without further ado, please welcome Mr. Joe Alexander. What do you know, Joe?
Hey, Will.
How are you?
Great, man. You?
Not too bad.
Excellent.
So, no female in the house now, huh?
No, kind of lonely, actually.
Does she come and visit often, or was she there for quite a while?
She usually comes out like two or three times a year, and this time around she was here for a week.
Where are you now again?
Italy.
Italy. How was Israel?
It was awesome. I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, did you do a lot of research around the like religious stuff, or I mean, does that even interest you?
It interests me, but I definitely didn't take advantage of it while I was living there because I was too busy with basketball.
Right. And then you got like a modeling gig while you're out there too, huh?
Yeah. There's a big and tall shop and they needed someone, and I happen to be tall. It was cool though. It was awesome to now be able to say that I was around during a nice chunk of the Israel-Gaza conflict. Like, I was in the heart of it.
What's it like, dude?
Well, that's the thing, that everyone has this idea of what it is like to be there right now, but it was so funny to be there and not see anything like that going on. You wouldn't even know that there was any kind of conflict. There was... The most I saw was just like young kids who were in the military going to school, or like, you know, wearing their military gear, walking around the city. You never saw any kind of conflict or heard any explosions, nothing like that.
There are guns like on the street corners though, right? I mean, people are walking around with guns, because I have seen like travel whatever's through Israel and stuff, and it's like all through Jordan, all through Pakistan, everybody's up. Well, I'll tell you what I was doing. I was watching Idiot Abroad. Have you seen this before? Oh man, it is so good. And I'll tell you why, because I'm telling you this because you love documentaries. This is by Ricky Gervais. It's on Netflix, where he's basically pranking his idiot friend and sending him to like China, and so, but they're really putting him in a, this isn't like a regular travel show where they show you the best hotel or whatever. They're making him stay in the back of kebab shops and shit like that. It's insanely funny. But in Israel, they show him like there's people with guns like everywhere. Like people will go to the swimming pool and put their guns down and stuff like that. It's not like that, or?
I never saw any guns except for in the hands of people who were dressed like they were in the military. I never saw civilians with guns.
Well, how regular is that? I mean, we don't have like guns on the street corners.
I probably saw a gun every two or three days.
Ah, that is kind of weird. Was it unsettling?
Not for me, because I like guns and I am a personal proponent of open carry, except that this was different because it was in the hands of military personnel, which I am obviously opposed to having an armed military on the streets policing civilians. So I was torn in that way. But I also understand that in Israel, they have a more immediate threat because it's a tiny country and they are unofficially at war. So the circumstances were a little bit different. But no, it wasn't unsettling for me.
That's what I was getting at. I mean, because when I was watching that show, it seems like there was like cops with guns. And I'm like, God damn, like right on the street corner, there's kids playing. And then there's like some dudes like strapped. But okay.
That's something I'm kind of used to that, though, because in China when I was growing up, they had that. And also in Russia. America's the only place that I've been to, because Europe is also like that, where cops don't walk around with fucking AKs and shotguns.
What was China like growing up? I mean, did you see the poorness of China?
Dude.
I mean, they squat, right? The bathrooms don't have stalls and stuff like that.
Dude, Will, in my career, I am around people. They love to talk about what city they're from and what hood they grew up in, how poor they were. And I just quietly laugh to myself and just think, you guys have never seen poverty in your fucking life. Like, the level of destitute that local Chinese people outside of the cities are living in, it just can't be compared to anything that Americans experience.
See, this is that shit. This is what I learned. I mean, although that show is like fucking funny, it's like, holy crap, that this is like the honest to God truth of how shit is, because they're throwing him in the middle of some bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's what it was like. We're talking like your whole childhood. I mean, what was it like for you, though? You guys weren't in that. I mean, you saw the poverty. You weren't
right.
In
no,
poverty.
We were isolated from it, obviously, as expatriate foreigners and who were there because my dad had a good job. And so he was working there as what would be like an upper middle class American, except we were surrounded by people who were dramatically below the American poverty line. There was a lot of social stratification in China where like large communities of expats had built up like 100 to 500 house sections that they lived in that were gated communities, but then around them was just the normal Chinese countryside. And even though there was physical separation, though, there was a lot of interaction, especially with the kids, because we went out and played in those areas. So we definitely were like immersed in it, but also not really a part of it. If that makes sense.
No, I'm thinking of like your video and the whole point you made about the putting people in a box and not understanding because they don't see it on TV.
Right.
But I'm also thinking about you as a person. I get the impression you're a really big fan of documentaries.
Yeah, I love documentaries.
Tell me what your philosophy on this is, because it seems to be like, you know, we've talked about all kinds of, like the Hitler documentary that you and I went through in particular. When it was talked about, you were actually a fan of the technique and how the guy was able to create an opinion using film.
Right.
So how does that inspire you? I mean, where are you at? How could you like philosophize to me about what you think of this?
Right. Well, I just love the medium of – actually, I don't know if medium is the right word, but I'll use it. I love the medium of documentaries, particularly low-budget ones, because it's a method of persuasion, a method to build an argument – that allows the content of the argument to materialize without the audience interrupting you. And for that reason, I think that it's a really powerful medium, because in any other case where you try to convince something of a very complex and potentially compelling case, you're usually face to face with them and they have the option to interject, to debate with you, to take issue with things that you're saying, you know, to divide and conquer the points in your argument until it seems like it's invalid. But a documentary has this space between the audience and the presenter where the audience just basically has to shut up and listen for an hour or 2 hours. So no matter how much they hate the content or are trying to mentally debunk it, they still get the luxury of sitting there and listening to it materialize. Until typically what happens in a documentary is after about an hour and a half or so, the information starts to kind of hit home and sink in. And wherever you were at the beginning of it, as far as denying it, you start to buy in a little bit, you know, if it's well made. So that's why I love documentaries, because I really feel like their persuasive power is, they just have a high ability to persuade an audience, because you can't argue with them, you know, because the presenter's not there.
Obviously, that made an impact on your success. I mean, what kind of insights did you imply while you were making your own film then?
Shit.
I mean, because it looks like you made a documentary in a way, but it's really direct and it gets its point and it's persuasive, obviously.
Yeah. So the idea of being captured and almost like you're in a voluntary prison where you are being subjected to the thoughts of somebody else, right? You say, I'm going to let this person lecture me for an hour or 2 hours, and I'm not going to be able to argue with them. So they have that long to build their case. I love the power of that. When you are making the film or making the documentary, the audience is basically giving you that luxury. And I definitely took advantage of that in my latest film, where I'm obviously trying to build a case and I'm using every creative ounce of energy that I have to, slice and dice the audio, the video, the clips up in a way that forms this convincing argument. You know, so I was very aware when I was making it that I was, you know, trying to, you know, mold and shape the perception of the audience, and that in that process I wasn't being completely honest about the content that I was presenting. So, but yeah. I think that's what all documentaries do, though.
Right.
And that's part of why I love them, is because, you know, I understand that the author has an agenda. They have something to say, and the fucking documentary like gives them, you know, the sleight of hand to be able to do that, you know, to cut the film up, and it's really powerful. So, yeah. Anyways.
I mean, do you feel bad though? Or do you feel a little bit frustrated if you get misinterpreted?
No, I think being misinterpreted it's my job as the presenter to make sure that I'm catering to my audience, or, you know, not being confusing, you know, just like when you speak, you know, an argument to somebody, it's your job to make sure that they can digest it.
I don't know if I've learned that yet.
Neither have I.
Well, I got to tell you, man, you did a solid. You did the Sync community a solid, because your name is not on the video.
Right.
Dude, first off, thank you. But that was your intention, of course, right?
Well, I can't say that it was like completely altruistic in the sense that I wanted everyone else to take credit for it, because obviously I don't want my name while I'm playing to be associated with something that could be interpreted as a crazy conspiracy video. Right. Even though I know that it's not a crazy conspiracy video, I know how it can be interpreted. So I can't let my name be associated with it right now. So I don't want to sit back and pretend that, you know, I was trying to turn all the credit over to everybody else. But at the same time, I made the video for the purpose of not getting people interested in Back to the Future 9/11, but getting people interested in fucking Sync.
Right.
I think that, as you know, like between 42 minutes, Always Record, and the shitloads of blogs that we have, more people need to get into the shit that we're doing. And anything that I can do to help people kind of cross that barrier is worthwhile to me. That's what the purpose of this video was from the start.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the important thing is that we teach people that they can look at documentaries more than one way. Or teach them to not like totally accept everything that they see. You have to look at things from multiple points of view to even be a Sync kid. You can't take it all seriously.
Yeah, dude. Like, that concept just makes me fucking laugh, because I know that at one point in my life, I was some asshole who was believed in all the political beliefs that my parents taught me, and I thought everyone else who didn't believe what I thought was stupid, and all I did was try to protect my current biases from anything new that might threaten them. And to be freed from that is so fucking liberating, even though sometimes it's debilitating, because we fall into the realm of like intellectual nihilism, and we can't quite put our foot down on anything concrete, and all intellectual material is like, you know, shifting sands, and there's no solid foundation for anything. But I would much prefer that type of an existence than the previous one, where I'm constantly battling, and it's like my thoughts and opinions are in this, my thoughts and opinions are in like the Roman Colosseum fighting for their life against everyone else's thoughts and opinions. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. And every time people get introduced to Sync and they come into our community, they all say the same fucking thing, which is, you people are so open-minded and all you do is listen, and you guys don't fight and you don't get combative with our ideas. And it's so refreshing, and I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of frustration going around too. I mean, you've done something that none of us were able to do, and that's like broad scale recognition, people listening to us.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fucking hard. First off, nobody wants to change their whole worldview because this shit's scary. I mean, what has it done for you? What? Come on, man, you got to be going through some shit.
Well, we talked about it earlier about like a Sync adolescence. I think that's the worst part about it, is you go through a period where you're fucked up. I mean, luckily I'm out of that right now. Like, I'm able to handle this very potent thing, which is a Sync mentality, which Jake, you know, bottled in his Time God video. Like, you know, what we were saying, when your head's on a fucking swivel, you know, that can be difficult to deal with. But luckily, you know, you've been in it long enough, I've been in it long enough that we can handle it. But I think that is the biggest downfall of entering this community.
Well, that's head on a swivel. Yeah. Well, the trick though is like, it's funny because your video comes out, or your video was kind of out. By the way, I didn't even see the new version until just now. Like, I didn't know that you had put all of the, see, I was excited because you and I kind of had this conversation about the red shirt, the black jacket. We even found them in more places. Like, you sent me the picture of Arnold in The Last Action Hero, which I find very interesting because it's like him coming through the movie, or the movie coming to life,
right, and
in the same way that you're basically portraying. But I didn't know you had included all of that. And other people started mentioning it in the sinkhole. And that's the thing that gets me excited, is when multiple people see the trick, the symbol dancing around. Like, most so different people come to the same conclusion.
Right.
But I mean, that kind of gives you a little bit of confirmation. And so, I mean, where are you at as far as your worldview? What makes all of that possible?
What makes part possible?
Well, I'm saying, how is Sync possible? If we have confirmation that we're not just a bunch of crazy space cowboys, which we are. But at the same time, we're getting confirmation from multiple people, like multiple people seeing the red shirt theme or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right,
people who have been in Sync for the same, because I thought it was interesting that you and Jake came out with videos. Both of them are basically the same topic. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
they're like 101 beginner, you know, acceptable, like easily understood video that you have, and then the James Joyce type of everything from your mom's kitchen type of video with the head,
right,
on the swivel. I mean, what basically you're getting, like, the adolescence, and you're getting like the friggin' old school, like, aged, who doesn't even care if he's gonna get a million hits or not.
Right.
I mean, there's a difference in philosophy there. There's a difference in understanding, like, worldview and how Sync actually works and what Sync actually is.
I see. Okay. Yeah, totally. Okay. So obviously, if someone watched my film and then watched Jake's, they would say these people are at two different stages of their Sync development. Like, if there's Sync adolescence, and then there's, I don't know, whatever we would label the later stages as. But, you know, Jake has said outright that his earlier videos were him trying to reconcile and come to terms with what it was that he had discovered, and that his later ones were like the enactment of it, were like the real time. He was trying to portray in real time what sync was. I can't remember his exact words, but it was something like that. But anyways, I do feel like that's where I am. Like, I've been in this too long to feel like I'm taken and enamored by the almost conspiratorial side of sync. I am in the camp of more like everything is just a fractal representation of the universe, and that sync emerges as a phenomenon of that basic principle, that everything has the exact same like universal DNA encoded in it to begin with, and that our base level distinctions that we're using to divide everything in the universe is a product of us not seeing that unity. And so, and that's more of the intriguing phenomenon than the actual sync, than the actual syncs. Because to me, everything is obviously connected, but how have those connections been veiled? You know, that's to me like the interesting phenomenon in all of this, because it's obvious already to me that everything is one. So I feel like I'm there, but my Back to the Future 9/11 video doesn't really get close to that, because it's still at like the base sync head level thinking. But I did that intentionally. Like, that was the intention of the video, was to draw in people who were almost at that level. They were just conspiracy heads, and they needed like a little push over the, over the edge.
You seem pretty nonchalant about the success, though. I mean, you told us a long time ago that you thought that this was going to be a big thing. Did you expect what you got?
Yeah.
So you're not surprised.
You know, I'm happy at what it's doing. And I do feel like I have closure with the video, as far as feeling like I did a good job with it. But I'm also a little bit disappointed, because this thing could be at 50 million hits right now if I would have done a few things differently. And that's disappointing.
What is fucking wrong with you, man?
I'm telling you, there's a few really obvious, really small details. And just like I included a few really obvious and small details, that if I didn't, none of this would be happening. And so on the flip side of that, there are a few that I already know, I've already identified them. I could have put them in, and this thing would take the world by storm.
But you're not done, though.
I'm not done, but I don't know if I'll be able to capitalize on that 30-year anniversary again, or if a new video would be able to reach like 2 or 3 million views while competing with my current one. So it would be really difficult to do, but the main obstacle is that I'm in the season right now and I just don't have time. Like, I made this video during my off season, so it would have to be another like 9 months before it is released. So,
wow. Like I said, man, thanks for the assist, by the way. That should go on your stats. Passing the ball to the sync book. I mean, or the sync, like everybody who contributed in this. Because what people don't see is what happened behind the curtains, where it was like, right, you came to us and you're like, I'm going to make a video. I need you guys to start brainstorming now. And that was probably the longest thread that I've ever seen in my life. But you kicked it back to us. You were like, you explain why your name's not on the video, but the way people interpreted when it impacted them and they're like trying to investigate, all they saw were the names that you put on there. That led them back to the website, that led them back to Alan, it led them back to the books and the years and years of trying to figure out a philosophy of what we were dealing with is on the backs of a lot of folks. I don't know. I think they should feel relieved. I mean, what's next?
Well, I'm excited because I think that this like egg is going to be really slow to crack and open. And I say that because of my own personal podcast experience, where it typically works that you don't download podcasts or get into blogs all at once. This is just my experience. I'll download one episode. I might listen to a little bit of it. I might wait a week before I actually listen to it. I'll just leave it in my favorites list. It might take a month or so before I've listened to an episode that I actually connect with. And I think that that process is probably pretty natural for most people. So I would guess that we are like in the favorites list of podcast of a lot of people's podcast lists right now, and they just haven't embraced it yet. And over the next 6 months, a lot of those people are going to roll over into like believers and people who are willing to further investigate Sync. And I hope that our community basically doubles in size. You know, that's really my hope, because not only do people then get to, not only do new people come in and get minds are just going to add so much new content.
Okay,
I can't wait to see like how this snowballs.
I lost a little bit of you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this is going to snowball and create more people who contribute until it's just critical mass?
Well, I just, man, you know this, I know this. We have so much fucking talent in our community. And the funny thing about artists and talented people is they recognize other talented people. So like I watched the Glenn Beck show where he was watching my video. Did you watch this?
No, I didn't even hear about that one. I saw the Chris Hardwick. I didn't see the Glenn Beck.
The Chris Hardwick is even a better example. Everyone in the Sync community picked up on this. So did my girlfriend when she watched it with me. She was like, this guy's into your shit.
Right.
This guy has to make fun of you for his show, but he's into this.
No, he was all over it. Open your fucking eyes, people. No, he did a skit. He rehearsed that and they had planned that. Like they had bits and jokes. It was great. It's what we always wanted to do. Like me and Andras Jones have talked about, we need to have something where it's almost making fun of Sync, because the material is there. It does it. You don't have to, you don't have to persuade. Because no, he gets it. Is what you're saying is he gets it. Even Glenn Beck got it.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are getting it. Well, the funny thing about watching the Glenn Beck thing is that he did it in the exact same manner that Chris Hardwick did, which was that he presented it as a joke and he was kind of like, this is crazy. But you can watch him throughout the whole thing. You can watch his face and he's like, this is some shit.
This is fun. Yeah.
This is some shit. There's something going on here. He wouldn't have put it on his fucking show if he didn't.
Right. And,
but my point is that that doesn't just happen with my video.
That's all of it.
That's all of our content.
That's talent. You could do that to any movie. I mean, people, you have the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future. That was a big deal. But we can – it was funny because motherfucker – who was it? Bob Gale comes up and says, I've seen a bunch of these videos pop up. You can do that with any movie. You can do that with Out of Africa. And I'm like, yeah, you probably could. That's the
right.
Freaking point. That's right. The point.
That's the point, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, shit, just looking up Out of Africa on Wikipedia, it's by Sidney Pollack. I think the reason he mentioned that one is because – that it came out in like December 85, and I think Back to the Future came out July 85. Is that right? The first one?
I actually don't know.
I think it was definitely in 85 though, right? So it was Out of Africa is the movie of the year for the year that Back to the Future came out. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It won for that year, Best Picture. But I think he might have even won. If he didn't win for Best Director, he probably was nominated. But that guy, Sidney Pollack, am I saying his name right? You know who that is?
No.
That's the guy who initiates Tom Cruise into the Illuminati and motherfucking Eyes Wide Shut.
Wow.
That's the role he plays in Eyes Wide Shut, is he's the Illuminati guy who tells you, you know what I'm saying? And there's like a whole bunch of Sync heads who can attach Eyes Wide Shut to 9/11. It's just funny because it's simple. Like we got you right there. Like we got it right away. It's almost like he was nodding to us. I don't know. It's weird. What if you're right? What if it is Illuminati shit? Like, are you scared for your life, Joe?
No, I'm not. But that's funny. It's almost like he was nodding to us. Like, what if we come up with a crazy sync thread to Out of Africa?
Like, shove it in his face.
But then not if we come up with something really crazy with Out of Africa, then Bob Gale is a genius and he was nodding to us.
Right. What do we do then?
All right. I just want to mention this real quick. So when you said, like, you and Andras, like, you wanted, like, Chris Hardwick to explore this kind of stuff and people
The way he presented it was the way that it should be presented.
Exactly.
Because you want to, like, make it, because if you listen to what's happening in the crowd while Chris Hardwick does it, like, they're laughing, but at the same time they're going, "Oh, like, oh shit." Like, they're getting it. Which is, you don't fucking care. You're not trying to persuade anybody into a philosophy. You're not trying to convince anybody about Illuminati or any of that stuff. All of that stuff you can just throw away. All you want them to do is see the data. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And someone posted in the kitchen exactly what we're discussing, which is that the court jester is able to speak truth to power.
Right.
Because of the jest that they employ when they do it, and they disarm the person's cognitive antibodies that would otherwise defend against this ridiculous, outrageous, unwelcome information. And to me, that was part of why Jake was so permeable when he first came out with it, is because even though he wasn't laughing or, like, completely making fun of himself, you could detect this tone of he was embracing the whole thing with a level of, like, of comedy that was allowing it to be lighthearted, right? It was like the heaviest material you could imagine, but being presented as, like, a stand-up comedy gig. At least that, you know, that's how I was taking it.
Right. The cosmic giggle.
Yeah, perfect. The cosmic giggle. And they're just subtle lines that I feel like Jake was throwing into his videos that made all the difference. Just like when you listen to rap songs and the rapper ad-libs his most serious and, like, murderous lines with a literal laugh. I'm sure you've heard this.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne does it all the time. Like, they'll actually laugh after their most ridiculous lines, and it allows you to kind of go, oh, okay, let's not take this so seriously. But at the same time, you've already absorbed the information that he said. Anyways, I'm just agreeing with you that...
No, that makes perfect sense.
But I also just want to note that I believed for a long time that the smartest people that I know and the most talented people that I know are in this sync community. And unfortunately, we come across very often as being completely nuts, but that's only because we're typically presenting the deepest material that we have to each other. But when we hit upon, like, our most shallow material, like the Back to the Future 9/11 shit, it's accessible to other people. And what I've noticed is that the smartest people that are in my circles outside of sync are the ones who most quickly latch onto this shit. So, like, Chris Hardwick, for example, he's obviously fucking intelligent. Glenn Beck, obviously fucking intelligent. And I think that what's happening now is serving as evidence that the smart fucking people in this world who get exposed to our material are going to be the ones most susceptible to joining our fucking movement. Because they see the truth and the legitimacy of what we're presenting. And these are people who are really, they're like us. They just haven't been exposed to this kind of shit before.
But can you capitalize that? Because all we're really pushing is, like, a new paradigm of thinking. Once we get there, will capitalization on anything be, like, obsolete? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I think. I think it is obsolete. I think pushing that new paradigm of thinking is the end in itself. It's the, like, it's almost a culture. Like, sync kitchen culture, to me, is what we're after. That's what we're trying to spread, is people questioning everything, challenging their rigid belief structures, building new patterns, recontextualizing, and most importantly, not dismissing everything that might contest their currently held worldviews and not being so hostile and combative about it. I mean, to me, that is a culture worth promoting, worth preserving, and that's the end in itself that I think sync can really help bring to the world. You know?
All right, what happened to how was your 21st? How was your Back to the Future Day, Joe?
Dude, it was it was off the fucking planet. That day didn't exist.
You gotta elaborate, my man.
All right. Fucking hell, dude. Okay, so I'll tell you what happened, but keep in mind that it can't be recreated what happened. It just can't. And I told my girl after all of this, I said that for the rest of my life, I don't think I'll ever be able to recreate or explain this night, but at least you and I know. Okay, so I'll make this really quick. My girl listens to Sync. She entertains everything that I say, but she doesn't participate on a level where she generates new content. I'm sure you have people like that in your life.
Got you.
On this fucking night, my girl laid on me like layer upon layer after layer for like an hour straight of information that had eluded me about Back to the Future and 9/11. And I like to think that with regard to these two topics and how they relate to each other, I can't imagine anyone else has spent more time thinking about it, poring over the material, sitting at their laptop for literally hundreds of hours trying to dissect the symbolism with these two events. And for anybody to school me on it, I would be shocked. If you did or Jake did or David Plate did, I would be like, damn, I can accept that. Cool. But my fucking girl, who has no business getting into this realm at all, was going to town. And I was just like, and we were both just like, how is this happening? Where is this information coming from? It was just pouring out of her mouth. And so much to the point that I sat at my laptop and was writing it down as she was speaking it, because it was that insane. So that's what happened. And this was the night. This was October 21st. It happened that night. So it was crazy.
Okay, so does that mean there's a new video coming? Do you have new information now?
I have a new angle on it and new information, yes. And
you got a Valis download. I mean, it's weird because I'm thinking today when I watched the video again, and you're talking about how the message is the walk, and I'm like, I don't think so. In some weird way, your video is the 9/11 video that everybody's watching on Back to the Future Day.
Exactly. Exactly, Will. That's what it is. So in my movie, I'm trying to say you'll find out in 30 years – like the message will come to a head, but it's not the walk. It's my video that's doing it.
Right.
Oh man, it's fucking nuts. The whole implications of that is nuts.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, it's intergalactic. I mean, that's what I was trying to get at earlier. I mean, doesn't Sync freaks you out because you're like, dude, this isn't like Illuminati shit. This is like universal shit. This is like some biblical shit.
Yeah, this is like – it's like in Jurassic Park where they find the eggshells and he says, life finds a way. You know, he's like, aren't all the animals at the park female? How can they breed? And he's like, yeah, fucking life finds a way and it makes it happen. Like that's how I feel with some of this shit. Like it's just it's a force. It's a life force and it finds a way. It wants to be expressed. It wants to come out.
Do you feel like it used you?
Dude, 100%. There's no question about it. Like, even since I was a little kid, it started then when my family was obsessed with Back to the Future for no fucking reason whatsoever. but it's not just me and Back to the Future. It's obviously happening with everybody, even non-sync heads. But this particular thread seems to be pretty important, you know, and it's just crazy how the whole thing has come together.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. That's like good news. I mean, because in a way it's like using your girl. So she said that she felt something, like she was just, it was just coming to her. Without making it sound like all new agey.
No, she was sounding New Agey, which was the crazy part about it. And she was speaking as if she was reading off a teleprompter, like not taking a breath, articulating it. It was fucking madness. I was trying to write it down. I'm looking over my notes of it right now.
Anything that jumps out at you?
Yeah. So basically she was explaining to me that so Robert Zemeckis is an artist. And at the time he was writing this time travel movie, he was actively, consciously trying to envision the future. Like, he was literally sitting down, like, what might the fucking future look like? What might the past look like? Because he was trying to build sets. He was trying to accurately depict the technology. You know, he was trying to build this world. And so she was explaining to me, like, how is that any different than some Zen master or some nutcase New Age person who sits down and meditates and says, like, I believe that I can envision the future by going into state and attempting to contact it. Like, how is that any different than an artist doing it, right? And just because Zemeckis might interpret his findings as products of his creativity and artistic ability doesn't mean that they weren't actually products of him, like, tapping into that same force that, like, a meditating New Age person would have. And so what she was explaining to me was he was consciously trying to see the future, but at the same time, he was obsessed with the Twin Towers. And we figured this out on the spot, by the way. This was something that I hadn't even understood yet until she explained it to me. He was obsessed with the Twin Towers when he was making Back to the Future. I don't think that's ever probably crossed your mind. I've never heard anyone else ever say it.
No, I've heard of the speculation that there was a movie that came out by the French guy who crossed the towers when he would have been making the script for like that he was probably thinking about that guy. He's probably always wanted to make a movie about that guy.
Yeah.
That's in The Walk. So he was already obsessed with the movie back then because that's probably a movie he's been wanting to make for 30 years.
Exactly. So he was obsessed with it. And that documentary came out in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was writing the script, he was finalizing elements of the plot. He was building the movie sets. And it's obvious that he was obsessed with Pettit because he later made the movie. But it's also obvious that he was specifically obsessed with his Twin Tower walk because that scene of the walk is in Back to the Fucking Future. She also pointed out to me something that I completely missed, which was that in The Walk, not only do they painstakingly rig this wire to the fucking tower, but they have this catastrophic event in the middle of it where the wire actually falls off the tower and they have to spend the night like dragging the wire back up to the top. I don't know if you've seen the movie or you know the story, but that's what happens in it.
Okay.
And that's exactly what happens in Back to the Future.
Right.
Like, exactly. So to me, it's just so obvious that Robert Zemeckis was really taken by this story. He had read it. He had researched it. He was completely enamored by Pettit. He put the story in Back to the Future. So what Kayla was explaining to me was, here you have this artist who's like just really striving intensely to get in touch with the future. And what will the future and the past look like? How can we depict them accurately while he's obsessed with the Twin Towers? And like an alchemist, like he just infused these two elements together and they became entangled. And
it is entanglement. It's entanglement.
Exactly. It's entanglement. He was just working with them at the exact same time and they became entangled. And then they became expressed in the artistic creation that he was making at the time. Like, it's almost like when an artist is fucking angry and they go in and they make an album. And then you interview Nelly Furtado and you're like, Nelly, like, why did this album end up the way that it was? And she's like, well, you know, I was angry at the time and I had just broken up with my boyfriend. And so you can, holy even though shit. I didn't try to, you can see those elements like expressing themselves in the album, even in parts where I didn't mean for them to. It just kind of organically came out. That's what art is. That's what happens. And it's like, that's what Zemeckis was doing. He's obsessed with the Twin Towers. He's trying to envision the future. And this shit becomes organically expressed in the album that he's pressing at the time. And so what she was telling me was that he actually, like, he channeled the death of the Twin Towers. like if you were sitting with a palm reader or like
because
a,
it was a, entangled because yeah. the okay, so in a way it is a message to the future because the 2000 like because he envisioned the Twin Towers in 2015, then the towers have to be part of the consciousness in 2015. But the only way for them to be there is by the most, like Oscom raised, the easiest way for them to be there is through Zemeckis anyways. So the movie has to be, the movie had to be in the theaters during that time period because he, like it's a magic spell. It's like, that's fucked up because, I mean, what you're explaining is like the whole idea of magic and everything and the whole idea that the Illuminati, yada, 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 are creating magic spells. Well, it doesn't really matter because any poet or really heavy thinker or artist or anything who's thinking heavily on something is going to create a magic spell if they produce any artwork at all.
Right. Right. You're talking about them entangling the elements that they're working with.
Right. All art is entanglement.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Well, and then she was taking it steps further and she was saying that, okay, maybe he didn't see the future, right? Maybe he didn't tap into that. Maybe that's not even fucking possible. But regardless, he still entangled these two elements that he was obsessed with, the fucking future and the twin fucking towers and and the tower being destroyed in his video. And then what did he do with these fucking entangled elements? He then fucking put them in the theater and on the television of every single human being on the fucking planet that was interested in movies or had access to TV for the next 25 fucking years. And so he entangled these elements. Fine. Maybe there's no implications in that or no direct consequences. But there is a heavy consequence when you entangle them and then put that seed in every conscious human being's mind. Because every element that was in Back to the Future was in a gross majority of the minds of humans who were tapped into pop culture, right, over the last quarter of a century. So even if he didn't, like, see it or cause it to happen, he entangled it and everyone else caused it to happen by dwelling on it.
Hmm.
Motherfucker.
Oh, I love you, Joe. You're a good man.
I wrote down this quote from her that I just loved. She said, "He's fucking around with the most powerful and popular time travel movie of all time. Isn't it possible that he just fucked around too far?"
Ooh.
Mm. Oh, man.
Mm. So what do we do next, man? What are you doing next? After your season, you got another video, but how much longer are you in your season? 9 more months?
I'm in the season for 6 more months.
Okay. Damn. That's a lot of games, homie. That's the one thing that I don't envy about players at all. Like the look at their schedule is just obscene.
Yeah, it's we call it the grind for a reason. It's a fucking grind.
Wow. Well, you've been successful, man. It's kind of weird. I mean, you have a successful life and you've done a successful video.
Yeah.
Does that kind of take some anxiety off of you? I mean, like a lot of people would be, let's say our homeboy Vigil hit 1 million views. It would change his life in a big way. But you've probably played in front of 1 million people. Not at one time, of course, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. I do feel 100% desensitized to like public attention, media attention. In fact, it doesn't repulse me. But I recognize that most of it is shallow and superficial and that it doesn't like get me out of bed at all. You know, it doesn't like change my emotional state.
Hmm. What about these videos? I mean, is there some card that you've held that you haven't oh shit. That was our alarm clock. It just like went off in my head, like, and it sounded totally like the one in Back to the Future, so it scared the shit out of me. Okay, so what's next, man? What card are you holding back that you haven't played yet? Or was 9/11 the big one?
I have another one that I think is huge, but it needs like three or four more sync elements to make it as big as I know that it can be. But the crazy thing is that whenever I start a movie, those elements always materialize before it's finished, so I know that that'll happen. So I do have one that I think will be bigger than this Back to the Future one.
Awesome. Okay, and
I mean, I'll tell you all about it if you want.
Yeah, sure. Hit it up. We got like 5 minutes and then I gotta bounce, but
No problem. It's just it's about pedophilia in Back to the Future.
Oh, damn. I had no what?
What?
Oh, shit. Really?
Why?
Because that's more Illuminati than the Illuminati. And then you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man.
Were you hoping it would be something more tame?
I thought it. I don't know. I don't know. It's just that was a curveball.
Yeah,
Damn.
well, I mean, I have other shit that is obviously more intriguing from a sync perspective, but I don't want to make videos about it because I know no one's going to connect with like my personal syncs. Like, if I'm going to spend like, 250 hours poring over the edits of all this shit, I want to make sure that I shock people to their fucking core. So, pedophilia is.
That brings up another point, man. A lot of people asked if I was, well, not a lot of people, but people asked if I was jealous of your numbers. And I don't think that I'll ever be jealous of your numbers. I'll tell you what I'm jealous of. The fucking professional look that that film has. Like, there are so many times where I'm working on a project where I'm like, this is what I like with when you highlight the people in the scene and highlight the scene in the background and all of that. Changing color and the little lines you put and the arrows and the names and the subtitles and all that and the watermarks. I would want all of that and then be like, I don't know how to do that. So do it the cheapest way possible or least time consuming. But you went through the steps.
Right.
And it gives it such a veneer that you should be really proud of. But I want to know how many do-it-yourself videos did you have to watch?
Well, thanks, because that was the bulk of all the effort. Like the sync stuff was fucking easy. I could have written a blog about this in a fucking day. But that shit took so much fucking time that, like, I don't even want to say how much time it took because I'm embarrassed. And it would just be on like little details, like is this line thick enough or how do I get this effect to work? And unfortunately, there are effects that have already been mastered by other people, so I could have had someone else do them if I wanted to, but I wanted to learn them for myself. But the point is, it was fucking ridiculously painstaking. But at the same time, I love computers. So luckily, I just meshed two interests that I have, sync and computer-based media. So.
Okay, so as a message to Hollywood, do you think, knowing who the sync community is, knowing the material and the backlog that they have, if it was made easier for us to get our ideas out somehow to bypass all of that technical knowledge, is that like a gold mine for them?
That's a tough question.
Could we do this again if we had the resources to bypass all of that stuff that you had to do in training to learn how to make this video?
Right.
Could we
Okay.
make a could we have a could we have a million hits next week?
Right. Okay. So that's a tough question. And it's something I've been sort of thinking about since all this happened, which is, would we even want to do that? And the reason I say that is because communities that generate a ton of content that is massively consumed generally don't have a lot to say that is worthwhile. That's just my experience. It's very rare that I come across like a podcast or something as deep as Sync. Well, I've never come across something as deep as Sync that like is able to continuously generate content. And I know that it could be said that, well, we generate podcast content and we have conversations and blogs, but I don't think that all of that stuff would generate millions of views. I genuinely don't. I think that that stuff would be relegated to like the most intelligent of the people who'd be interested in sync. Like, for example, at least half the people who watched my video who commented said you're fucking retarded. So right away that knocks off, you know, 500,000 views right away. And then, so let's say that the next half of those people just watched half of it because their coworker told them to, and they didn't really get it, didn't really care. So now we're down to like 250,000 people who actually give a shit and who would come back for the material.
So that's what you meant by you would rather it be 50 million.
I'm sorry?
Earlier in the show, you said that you would rather it have been 50 million views.
Right.
That's what you meant by that, is like all of that, you might have 1.5 million views, but you could probably get rid of half of that just right off the bat on being good quality views.
Well,
where it sinks in is what I'm saying.
Let me think here for a second. Well, when I said 50 million earlier, I meant that the video would actually be better, because right now I only have 1 million.
Right.
So, but I think that of those 1 million, only half of that, so 500,000, actually think that it's worth anything, you know?
All right, brother. We're going to have to continue this talk another time, because I don't want to like get it too convoluted or anything. And besides, man, I'm really curious on what happened or hearing more of what happened for you on the 21st. Because it feels like, I mean, it feels like, without making it sound too crazy, spaceman, Valis, I mean, whatever you want to label it, but it seems like something came to a head for you for sure.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful to be able to talk to you about it, and that's why I messaged you, and I haven't told anybody else about this, honestly, because if I told like a normal person in my life, I would have to explain to them why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you possibly think that? But for someone who's in tune with this kind of shit, I can just say, look, amazing information was bestowed upon me that I couldn't possibly have thought of. Obviously, it came from something external. So, anyways.
Go with God, homie. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, Will.
Peace.
Peace, brother.
Seven day binge.